The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for making Chuck and Chernoff part of your Thursday. We appreciate you all doing it every day, whether you're listening on FM at 93.7, doing the AM thing at 680, or checking us out on the 680 The Fan mobile app. And if you're a Braves fan, you want to keep up with your Braves, it's free. Download it, tap, and there
that
it is.
That app is like the herp. You just take it everywhere you go.
Dynamite drop-in lows. The 5 o'clock hour of the show is brought to you by Mobile Hydraulics of Georgia. Mobile and on-site hydraulic hose repair. Find out more at hydhose.com. So the Braves get a day off today. Then they're up in New York against the 500 Metropolitans. Always a reminder of how sad those fans are that they're this excited with that payroll to be 18-18. You'll get all three games coming up Friday, Saturday, and it's a Sunday night ESPN game. So you can avoid the issue seeing the game, but you can always hear the game on the 680 of the Fan mobile app. Braves off a sweep over the Sox, win 5-0 last night, take the two games from Boston. Braves improved to 22-12. They're also a major league best 13-4. The story of the night, twofold. Chris Sale was outstanding again. Locked in. You know that meant more to him because it was against the Red Sox. Another six innings, six hits, no runs, only one walk, 10 Ks. The strikeout numbers for Sale have been tremendous. And if you add Chris Sale in the middle of May being 5-1 with a 2.95 ERA, your name is Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah, I mean, they project. What was surprising to me was that they brought him in, and knowing what the injury history had been over the past 2 years, and that's what had Boston all upset about him. But to them, the way that the Braves projected and said, well, we believe in our projection that we're going to give you a contract extension right now.
Which at the time we all went, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, we're like, why? And sure enough, yeah, he's back to being Chris Sale.
It's almost like it's 2017, that kind of impressive version of Chris Sale that when he wins and he stays healthy, we'll celebrate with 2017 Sale. This really gets me excited because it's a slow burn.
So good.
And it kind of tells the story of Sale leaving Boston to Atlanta. Get your phones out, turn your light on.
Mr. Sale, I'd like to have a word. Wednesday night, you take the hill. You and me, we got a long history.
That makes me emotional.
Mostly on the aisle. And I swear on all that's holy, if you're suddenly fine, I will genuinely lose my f***ing mind. You have 5 goddamn years to get healthy. Now you're pitching like it's 2017.
Alex Anthopoulos got a cigar, feet up on his desk.
Yeah, look what I did.
Did it again.
Good job, fellas.
All I could picture last night are Red Sox fans going, the hell?
His numbers, as far as just overall, look at what he's done. We're like 2014 level right now, Chris Sale. And I was asking for 25 starts.
Yeah.
Now I'm greedy because every single time he goes out there, I'm like, we're in good shape here.
Please, baseball gods, keep him healthy. I want that guy that I saw last night in October. Give me that guy. Give me Sale. Or excuse me, give me a Freed. Throw me in some Ronaldo Lopez looking like this. A little Mort in the fourth spot. Justin Verlander as well. And we go.
Get my pen healthy for me.
You know this Justin Verlander thing might not be. And again, I'm going to be like this all summer until it happens and where he gets traded to the Rangers. But he has a no trade. So he can decide where he wants to go. I know that certain teams in our city would never tamper. But if you're one of the players on the Braves, you can call the Rangers. You can reach out to the Astros,
yeah.
Right, and say, Justin, listen, you guys are like 12 and 24 now. You're awful. Start thinking about some teams because this is the most fun clubhouse, the best chemistry. We have a chance to win a World Series. Could you picture a rotation in the playoffs that gave me Sale, Verlander, Freed, and then whatever you want to do with Lopez or Morton? How would you like to be so good that you could put one in the pen?
Yeah, that's $62 million that's left on that contract.
But it's
not your money you have to worry about.
The Mets have paid most of it. You would get him at a bargain this year, and then next year's option is paid a lot by the Mets too. So he'll pitch for you while getting paid by the Mets. It's even a bigger bonus. So just one of those things to keep in mind. Now, the other story last night was the Big Bear, which I think is great because last night we played Chris Domino's favorite game. What is the Big Bear on pace for now? And that was before he hit two home runs. That's before he had four RBI. That's before he continued his torrid pace. Marcel now hitting .315. 12 home runs, which leads baseball, 38 RBI, which leads baseball. That's happened in 34 games. So he's got a couple of multi-home run games already. He's the league leader in those two categories, and he joins, are you ready? Henry Aaron, as the only Braves to ever have more than 12 home runs and 38 RBI through the team's first 34 games. That's the hell out of here.
That's your list. I did enjoy when you guys had, you were joined by CJ Nikowski, and he talked about, during the game broadcast, how we haven't had a DH who's been an MVP. Obviously, we haven't had the DH in the National League anyway. But if you wanted to tell me who's at that point right now where you could legitimately say that's the MVP of the entire National League, conversation is going to include Marcel Ozuna right now.
It is. They won't vote for him.
Yeah. It's the nature of what it is, but.
They won't. So if Ohtani is anywhere in the neighborhood, you know Ohtani will get it, or whomever else you want to look around the. Like, it would take Marcel doing what he's on pace for, which, if Domino's listening, his favorite game. What's the Big Bear on pace for now? Well, he's on pace for 57 home runs and 181 RBIs. If he does that, he'll win the MVP.
He'll win the MVP with 57 homers.
181 RBIs. No, he will not keep that pace up. He will go through a three-week thing where he's like, oh, God, I just can't figure it out. That'll happen. And he still might get close to 40 home runs again.
And by the way,
maybe he'll fly by 40.
He went 40 and 100 last year. And I think when I put my numbers together, I had him at like 32 or 34.
Colin, he's been waiting on this one. He's been waiting on it.
Well, that's what happens when you start messing with Los Vegas.
So for those who don't know, Los put our numbers together for the vault, and we pick over-unders on different Braves stat projections. And for Marcel, there was a big disagreement because you were out that day. We were going to use your stats, but Justin Hanover, who fancies himself quite the handicapper, was looking at your numbers, kept using things like stale, way off, just didn't seem to fit what Vegas really would. And he started tweaking your numbers.
Tweaking them down,
yeah.
Which, if we're just talking about how statistics works, and I wouldn't expect him to know this, you actually can basically look at, and if you're projecting a 20% reduction in a player at, let's say, 27, 28, that's pretty extreme.
Right. Now, I did think we'd get some major regression from Ozuna. I was convinced. I was convinced this was going to be the 240, he hits 25 and 75 RBIs, and we're like, it's fine. But he's looking at me in the face and giving me the double middle finger. That's how good Ozuna is.
But he's also really in a lineup where there's a lot of protection throughout this lineup for everyone.
There is, but right now, I'm not pitching to him. No. Right now, the way the lineup is today, where Olsen's hitting ahead of him, I'm going to pitch to Matt. I'm going to make Matt beat me. And then when Ozuna's up, I think they've been hitting Arcia behind him.
Yeah.
I'd much rather pitch to Orlando. Michael's 0 for his last 22, Harris. So you're right typically, but right now it's like I'm not letting him beat me.
I'm not big on, like, flipping the lineup or changing anything, but if you did want to give that let's say I want to maybe guarantee you an extra at bat a game.
What are we saying? What happened?
That might be fourth.
Now we're like, we got to get Ozuna an extra.
Yes, we got to find him one extra at bat a game right now.
Hilarious. I love it. Speaking of Arcia, he had a good night last night.
Sure did.
Orlando left the yard, was 2-for-4 with a home run, a double, and an RBI. Braves offense played long ball. Sale did the rest. So the Braves enjoy their day off today. They're in New York tomorrow. The former Met is now a former Brave as well. The Braves made a small deal today. They traded Luis Guillorme to the LA Angels, so he'll get to go play with Wash without his batting gloves. He'll get to choke up on the bat and play there. So in the meantime, you thought, well, this must mean Fletch is coming back, right? David Fletcher? No. The Braves made another small deal. They acquired Zach Short, who's out of minor league options. He will be on the roster beginning tomorrow. Backup shortstop, middle infielder with some speed to fill out there. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, God forbid you lose Ozzie or Orlando. Yes, Guillorme could do a decent enough job if he had to. So could David Fletcher. It's still a huge drop, no matter which way you were going to go on that one. So we'll get you ready tomorrow for the Braves and the Mets. Download your 680 The Fan app and tap away and be ready.
Just wait till Short turns into like an MVP candidate.
Short. Is he related to Dylan? Zach Short joins us. If he's related to our own Dylan, that would
rattle.
Unnecessary. Don't need that. Falcon rookie minicamp begins tomorrow. The Rooks were showing up today on campus, as Arthur Blank calls it. They'll be on the field doing something tomorrow. So MPJ is now known as MP9. Michael Penix Jr. will wear the number 9.
Like it.
That was announced today, so his college number. Rondell Moore, the player they traded Desmond Ridder for, so Dez wore the 9. They traded Dez, so the 9 was available. Rondell Moore took it. Well, now Michael Penix took it away from him. Now, is this one of those where the organization comes to him? Because Michael doesn't do it as a rookie and call a player and say, I want the number. This is the organization going, listen, Rondell, glad to have you. We'd like to have you for maybe more than this year. Give up the number.
This is our future franchise player. His number is 9.
We want to sell Michael Penix's jersey.
Would you like to be 19?
Rondell, what do you think will sell more, your number 9 or Michael Penix's number 9? We're in the business of merch sales, so we'd like you to do that. Because everybody was trying to guess, would he wear the 10? If the 9 was, the 9 was already spoken for. 8 was not available with Kyle Pitts. There was no way you were going to see 7 come from Bijan Robinson this quickly. So he was going to be left to do something different. Instead, he'll wear the number 9. The Falcons also announced the rest of the Rooks, including Rook Arororo. He's wearing 98. Braylon Trice, the third-round pick, will wear 48. Brandon Derlis, the fourth-round pick, will wear 54. J.D. Bertrand, the linebacker at Notre Dame, will wear 40. Jace McClellan, the sixth-round running back at Alabama, will wear 30. Casey Washington, the Illinois product, will wear 82. And Georgia's own Zion Logue will wear 59. Not my favorite number for a guy who's 6'6 and like 325.
Yeah, that's a strange number. You got to be in the 90s for that
guy. Agreed. You're supposed to be like 99.
Yes.
You're supposed to be, I don't know, something. It's supposed to be a fat guy number.
But the rest of everyone else I don't have a problem with. No one went and did something crazy.
Braylon Trice, 48, should rethink that.
Yeah, that's not a good linebacker end number.
Did he wear that in college? I don't know. I have no idea. Trice wore 48? No, I thought he wore a single digit.
Yeah, I thought he was a single digit player.
I could be wrong.
I'll
could be
take wrong. A look real we'll look quick and let you know. Yeah, he wore number 8 in college.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. That looks weird, too. So 48, I'll take it.
I don't know how much you're digging into the NBA playoffs right now.
Quite a bit.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm in.
So last night I did dig into the Knicks and the Pacers. As much as I don't like the Knicks, it's a fun story. That team has got a lot of pieces that you kind of like around Jalen Brunson. The Pacers story, which now has become a whiny one from their head coach, Rick Carlisle, is like, small market teams aren't getting calls. No bleep. And he was all upset over that. Knicks won the game last night, which means we are halfway to the Knicks being in the Eastern Finals, which is stupid, against the Boston Celtics. And in the West, we are tracking towards an OKC-Minnesota Western Conference final.
Well, it's like basketball outpost just several years
totally.
Ago. Now they're two of the better teams.
So all the league will be fawning all over Knicks and Celtics and ignoring the better series, which could be fun with Minnesota if it ends up being Minnesota-OKC.
I would really enjoy seeing like a Boston-Minnesota final.
I agree. Or OKC.
I don't have a problem with OKC. They're deep and they're really talented.
Watching Anthony Edwards would be fun.
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns, that could be a good time too. Now, the Knicks are always going to be a lightning rod no matter what happens, including for analysts like Charles Barkley. Last night, Charles had a very stern message for the Knicks themselves and Knicks fans, and he wasn't backing down.
If the Knicks win, that'll be good.
You care who wins. Cut it out.
I don't care who wins, yeah, but I will tell you what, I would love to see them get their ass stomped by the Celtics. That'd be great.
Then you care who wins.
I mean, I'm just saying, whoever wins this series is going to get stomped by the Celtics.
Well, you said you'd be happy to see it.
Yeah, because the New Yorkers, y'all deserve it. Because y'all think y'all the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Tell them, Chuck.
Come on, y'all ain't that good in New York.
What else, Chuck?
Come on, man. Y'all overrated.
What else, Chuck?
It's because y'all make good pizza and good bagels.
And what else, Chuck?
And what else, crime?
And hey, hold on, Chuck. Don't forget about the
Oh, you know, they I ain't going to say anything bad about the street meat. I love the street meat.
Now, to Charles's point, last night after the game, I saw videos, the MSG crowd continuing the FU Reggie chant to Reggie Miller as they were making their way out of the building. They did it during the game to the point where Josh Hart walked over to the mic of Reggie Miller and said, you know, they're saying FU to you. Thank you for that. I didn't realize the 18,000 people were yelling FU Reggie. Then there was an FU Trae Young chant just because he lives rent free in their heads. And for whatever reason, there was an FU Embiid chant. It's just they're going to nail everybody.
Everybody gets some.
Just innocent folks just minding their business. They're going to get the astray fire from the Knicks fans. Now, I mentioned Reggie Miller was in the building last night. He's doing the Western Conference semis, but TNT was smart. They're like, why don't we move Reggie over here for a game? They already had Stan Van Gundy doing color on the game. They had Brian Anderson. They're like, this could be pretty organic, fun stuff to get Reggie back in the place where he pulled out the choke sign to Spike Lee, to where he hit the back-to-back threes in that memorable comeback for the Pacers. So before the game, Reggie's sitting there in the Tuttle. He's talking to a TNT, and they asked him how he felt being back in the building at MSG.
I'm a little torn, obviously. 18 years with the Pacers. There's a lot of history between these two franchises. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere. Look, I know people are like, aren't you worried about going back to New York City and calling a game? No. I've owned this city. I've owned this building. So why would I be worried about walking on out there?
Do you remember the days when whoever did the game was always so impartial? And so we're not biased in this game. And he's probably not. But to have that kind of personality is great. And I think it's wonderful because it's sports. It's not that serious. It's not a big deal. And the Knicks fans are like, hey, pulling for the Pacers. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's the same way we bitched and complained about Ron Darling pulling against the Braves in the 21 playoffs. We were convinced Ron doesn't like us. It just becomes a talking point. It doesn't matter.
There is something that we have now found that we actually like broadcast where the other team is basically not a factor. You are rooting for your own. It's why you saw like Bleacher Report for years, you know, where even a guy like Brian Finneran got to call a Villanova game because they wanted like Villanova people, Villanova fans. I don't have any problem with the fact that you have an NBA analyst that got brought in there who's an icon of that sort of a moment, and he's sitting there cheering for his team.
Well, whatever they're doing right now, it's working because Comcast NBC Universal is nearing a deal to be the third member of the NBA TV package. They're planning a basketball night in America. Round Rock could return with John Tesh, and it's going to cost them $2.5 billion annually. Now, as a third leg of this, TNT is still in the running. Their parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery, sounds like it might need to up its offer to $2.8 billion to retain its portion of the rights. Or
wow.
Charles Barkley could exit stage left. Anybody on the inside the NBA set could be a free agent and leave and end up going somewhere else.
What else, Chuck?
Who knows if Ernie Johnson just stays and doesn't go along with it. I don't know, but it could change the whole landscape of what's happening there.
You cannot have, again, a lot of money changing hands, a lot of decisions being made. Fine. Doesn't affect me in terms of fanhood as long as you don't mess with the best show on television sports.
Yep. We'll see
that's
what
it.
Happens.
That's the only one I want. Rest of it, you figure it out.
The NBA is weird. It's different than the NFL and in Major League Baseball in the way that the number of different teams who win the championship typically. I saw a number from Jason McIntyre that talked about Denver. If they lose this series to Minnesota, we are guaranteed to have a sixth different champion in the last 6 years. That has not happened in the league since the 70s, since 1975 through 1980. In fact, from 1980 through 2018, we had only eight different world champions in basketball. I want you to think about that in baseball or in the NFL if I told you only eight. Think about this now as I go down the list. The Lakers won several. Celtics multiple, Pistons, Rockets, Bulls, Spurs, Heat, Warriors. That's the entire list. Nobody else won a championship for nearly three decades.
Yeah, it was a cycle of here's the next one, here's the next dynasty, here's what it's going to be. I thought it was very refreshing. And you you know, you brought up the whole know, the idea of like Milwaukee getting one. I thought Denver getting one, just right. A team that hadn't really sniffed it since the mid-90s, and yet here they were, and they got it done, and now they're the ones down 0-2 at home who are having to stare at what if Minnesota's the next one?
Right, they could be. Now, Jokic won the MVP, which upset a lot of people because they thought Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would win it, including Shaq, who in the midst of his interview with Jokic was like, I didn't think you should win.
Tell him, Chuck.
He literally is like, I love you, Jokic, but I thought it should have been SGA, which again is the personality that we're talking about right there. So we'll see what happens with the rest of that. You have an off night from the Braves tonight to kind of keep up with it. The fallout from the Tom Brady roast continues. Giselle wasn't happy.
I loved it.
I thought it was great. There were a lot of people who were in the crossfire who weren't thrilled with it. There was rumors that Bridget Moynihan and that the original Miss Brady.
Baby mama.
She didn't like it. And it turns out that your guy, Chris Mad Dog Russo, also didn't like the roast. But that's not why I'm going to play you this clip. I want you to see him try to power through saying the word jujitsu. The word is jujitsu. Take a listen.
Quickly, they all had the same lines. Let's go kill Giselle and her boyfriend. That was the whole theme of the whole night. Let's figure out a way. How does Tom Brady, the magnificent, good-looking quarterback, how did he lose his beautiful wife to a jujitsu how you pronounce it? What's the word? I don't even know. What is it?
What? Jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu instructor. I mean, that's the whole theme of the night. That she's going out with the jiu-jitsu instructor. And poor Tom, all by his lonesome. That's the whole theme of the night.
All right, go back. So the first one he said was a constructor.
To a jiu-jitsu constructor.
A jiu-jitsu constructor. So not a...
how you pronounce it?
Jiu-jitsu constructor.
To a jiu-jitsu constructor.
You're right. But then he got a handle on it. He felt like he did anyway and just wanted to mention the jiu-jitsu.
She's going out with the jiu-jitsu instructor.
Love that man. I hope he never changes. He's a legend. He's an institution. And guys like you, he paved the way for guys like you, and you don't show the proper respect.
No, I don't. I don't kiss the ring on this one.
That's a shame. You really don't understand.
Because it's not good.
It doesn't have to be good. We're not good either. What's the difference?
No, there is a difference.
I'm sorry. We did AI Buck an hour ago. Yes, we're good.
This is true. But that actually takes prep. Okay? That actually takes like you looking into things and going, here, let me see if I can find this one piece of raised information. This man didn't even get jiu-jitsu right.
What's the word?
That's a tricky term.
Is it?
Yes, jiu-jitsu constructor.
To a jiu-jitsu constructor. That's
not easy.
How you pronounce it?
It's jiu-jitsu.
Your
standards. She's going out with the jiu-jitsu instructor.
Correct. Your standards have lowered.
That's not lowered. I respect my the guys who came before me who laid the groundwork.
No, I'm appreciative, but at the same time.
It doesn't sound like it.
I look at it and I go, really? We're doing it this level?
So you're more of a Francesa kind of guy.
You know I'm not there either.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's Worst Idea.
We've been taking your worst idea answers today at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed.
What is his name? Koo?
As we approach Mother's Day, Sunday. And I noticed today at Publix.
It sounds cool.
Yeah, it's cool. That's right, Mike. I noticed today at Publix, a lot of guys grabbing cards. At least they didn't wait for the Saturday or the Sunday morning going to church. And, you know, all of a sudden you stop at the Publix on the way back. So with Mama's Day coming, we wanted to know the fictional mom who would have lost custody of their kids in the divorce. Something lighthearted. Who would have lost the kids in the divorce? I said Adrian Balboa. Even a brain-damaged Rocky would have gotten that kid over her. She should have been more supportive to the whole family. She really should have. Lance said the mother of every child that was involved with Jurassic Park, Jurassic World.
Yeah. How'd you not keep a better eye on those kids?
There was the mother who was actually going through the divorce with the dad, and her sister was running Jurassic World, so she sent them to go on the trip, and then all hell broke loose in that one picture. You're welcome.
It's terrible.
Are you going through a divorce or something?
Chris sent Fran Drescher. But she wasn't the mother. She was the nanny.
She was the nanny.
I don't think she can get rights legally to the kids. Steven said Felice Martin. She was the worst. That was Donna Martin's mother. She had an affair on her husband. He gets seriously.
Is this a 90210
yes,
thing?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't.
He had a health issue. Felice was a horrible person.
That was right up your alley.
Just an awful person. Brett said the mom and Malcolm in the Middle. John said Terry Garr and Mr. Mom. Rob mentioned Betty Draper. Now, the interesting part of Betty Draper is she actually did win custody of the kids because Don was such a horrible father. In fact, there was one episode where Betty thought she was going to be diagnosed with cancer. So she calls Don, and all Don is worried about is I'm going to have to take these kids. That's not that Betty could get it. She could be done. He's like, I got to be a full-time dad. Steven said definitely Mrs. McAllister. Not wrong. You lose your kids not once, but twice.
Twice. Right.
And then Maddie said the mother from Throw Mama from the Train.
Okay, that's going back a ways.
Oh, and there's also Liv Soprano, Tony Soprano's mom. Yeah. So you can send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino.
She was Mama Fratelli over in the Goonies movies.
She was indeed. That's the Throw Mama, not Liv Soprano. Right?
Yeah.
Send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. All right, coming up, the Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones, talks about what's gone right and what's got to get fixed for guys like Ronald Acuna, for Matt Olson, and for other members of this Braves lineup who have not figured it out. When you hear Chipper Jones talk, it sounds like a doctor diagnosing an illness. Great stuff with the Hall of Famer next. Don't be afraid. Chuck and Chernoff are on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Thursday afternoon with us. Los in for the King. Charles back with us tomorrow. A couple of reminders for you. When the Braves are back tomorrow night, make sure you get your 680 The Fan mobile app downloaded and tapped and ready to keep up with all things Braves. You can listen to Los over on Extra 106.3 FM with the Extra app, which you can download, the Extra 106.3 app. And, of course, you can keep up with everything happening here starting at 6 a.m. with the Locker Room tomorrow morning. Our 5 o'clock hour is all brought to you by Mobile Hydraulics of Georgia. Mobile and on-site hydraulic hose repair. It's hydhose.com. All right, let me bring in the Hall of Famer because the Braves' bats have been a topic of discussion all season long. Who's hot, who's not. And Chipper always has a great way to diagnose what he's watching. The Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones, kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson News Maker Line. Chip, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I want to play along with this Cousins thing as
all right,
well.
Let's do it. Everybody else has an opinion, so let me back up. All right, let's start at the beginning. If I told you Kirk Cousins over-under on playoff appearances, I set it at 1.5. You go over-under.
I'm going to go over.
So you think they make the playoffs twice with Cousins while he's here?
I do.
Okay. Double-digit winning seasons. I think we're going to see where this is going. I set it at 0.5 over-under with Cousins.
I'll go over.
Wow, Chipper is on board. All right. Division titles. I'll set it again at 0.5 with Cousins as quarterback.
Over.
Cousins. I mean, Chipper's on the Cousins train. Look at this. Kirk Cousins starts, including playoff games, set it at 29.5.
Under.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You got all these other, like, these are all happening, and he only starts 28 games. All right.
I'm flipping a coin over here, buddy.
I am, too. I know. I'm with you. And I'm like, you know this, right? He's 36 next season. To be 37 the year after, the body just doesn't do the same things anymore.
Look. Here's what I'm hoping. The division is so bad that we have it clinched so early that the young pup gets some burn at the end of the season a couple of years in a row.
I like the way you think. I like it. I also liked your stuff on TV last night. You happened to be in the booth while Kelnick hit that home run, and right after he hit the home run, you said something about his swing that you would love to talk to him about. Being on a more northern plane. And it sounds elementary, but there's got to be more to it. Explain to me what you were talking about with Kelnick and what you want to see out of him.
Yeah, and it's something that I'll probably explain more on the telecast when we do it. I'm a big swing north guy. And what I mean by swing north, dead center field is north. In Kelnick's case, swinging east would be to the pull side. In Austin Riley's case, swinging west would be to the pull side. So swinging north does two things. It allows the ball to travel, and it automatically keeps you inside of the baseball. I feel like whenever Jared gets a little rotational where he tries to pull, he starts to hook balls. What we look for as hitters is we try and let the ball get deep, and we try and get backspin so that the ball carries out of the ballpark. Sometimes when we pull, and I was as guilty of this as anybody when I played, when I tried to pull the ball, I hooked the ball, which means I come out and around it, and the ball has top spin, which is the opposite of what we want. And I see a lot of that with Jared, and I think if he, if I could get him to get the feel of swinging north and letting the ball travel and putting backspin on, he does it in batting practice, quite often. But as we both know, through the years, we've seen with Andrew and with Dan Ugla, they can do it great during batting practice, but then they start trying to hook the ball around the left field foul pole, during the game, and all their mechanics kind of go out the window.
the Hall of Famer Chipper Jones with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. I want to ask you about Olsen in a minute, but let's talk about Acuna. What are you seeing in him where he's swinging through a bunch of fastballs, and what adjustments have pitchers made compared to a year ago where it just didn't seem, A, he was swinging and missing a ton, and that he wasn't chasing in situations where he was even behind in the count?
He's long to the baseball right now. I was talking to Seitz yesterday, and I go, he just looks – his bat looks slow to me. And he's – you know, he – instead of getting into his load where he cocks his bat and goes straight to the baseball, he's coming – what I was talking about earlier about Kelenic coming out and around, which makes him long to the baseball, which makes him in the worst possible spot we are as hitters, meaning behind – the fastball and ahead of the breaking ball. And you saw it last night. He did get a base hit, but it was a swinging bunt down the third baseline on an off-speed pitch that he was out in front of. And he's just he's a little long. He's starting to swing back behind instead of being short, quick to the ball. And consequently, whenever you have a long swing and a slow swing, you have to start earlier, which means your chase rate and your strikeouts are going to go way, way up, and that's what you're seeing with Ronald Acuna right now. So we just got to shorten him up, get him, you know, just get him to center of the baseball, you know, to the north, and you'll see him take off.
What about Riley and Olsen? If you look at their barrel rate, exit velocity, it seems like both of them are just due for a correction.
I think the market is soon to correct itself. I think that's pretty accurate. I think Austin certainly had his struggles about, two or three weeks ago where – you know, there was a lot of leaking with his front side. We worked so hard to try and get him to hit the ball at the State Farm sign and right center field just to change his sights, let the ball travel. And every once in a while when he gets in trouble, he leaks towards the shortstop, meaning he steps towards the shortstop, and he'll miss some of those fastballs and sliders on the outside corner off the end of the bat. When he's, you know, stepping, you know, more towards the pitcher, more towards second base, and he lets the ball travel, that's when you see him really start to take off. He's really barreled some balls to the opposite field in the last few games. So I see the market correcting with him. You know, Ole is such an enigma because his swing is so different from other people's. I mean, a lot of people could say that about Freddie Freeman as well. It's not what you would teach, but it works for him. He's got really long levers. He's got a lot of moving parts. And sometimes his peaks and valleys are a little more drastic than we would like. Obviously, we saw the really, really good Matt Olson last year and setting career highs in basically everything. But he's really scuffling to get everything timed up right now. But I can promise you this, when these three fellas that we've been talking about get it going, and they will get it going, somebody's going to pay. And it's going to be pretty fun to watch as a Braves fan when they kick it in high gear.
Chip, I feel like we always ask you about the guys who aren't going. So let me ask you about Ozuna, which it continues to be just shocking to me that like a year ago in April, there might not have been a worst hitter in the game. And it wasn't like, you know, market correction for Olsen or Riley where, well, Ozuna was squaring stuff up and his exit velo was great and his barrel. No, none of it was good. He looked lost at the plate. And now we're going on about a calendar year of the next 5 months and then the beginning of April where it's like, I don't know that there are 10 more productive hitters in the game. Explain it to me.
He is one of those guys that the whole swing north phrase really hit home with him. Last year in spring training, he couldn't hit a ball out of the infield. It was unbelievable. We were all perplexed. I mean, he would hit a ground ball with the exit velo of 48 to third base. He would get blown up and have a 39-mile-an-hour exit velo, you know, broken bat to the second base. It was gross, was what it was. And then all of a sudden, I told him, I'm like, I want you to hit the ball through the center field wall every single swing in batting practice. And then all of a sudden, a couple line drives up the middle, you know, then a couple line outs to center. Now he's knocking down the center field wall, and you don't really see him hit the ball to straightaway left anymore, you know, where he's really pulling off the ball and whatnot. And I always tell hitters this when I first get with them. I go, if I give you 10 pitches down the middle in batting practice and you try and hook them around the left field foul pole, how many are you going to absolutely square up? And most people say probably 3, 4, maybe 5. And I go, okay, now I give you 10 pitches down the middle and I tell you to knock down the center field wall, how many are you going to center? Most of them say 8, 9. And I go, okay, well, why would your approach in the game be any different? You know, so it's that kind of mindset that we just try and instill in the guys to play to the big part of the field, because that's the best way to center the baseball. And Marcel, since he started swinging north, has just been on fire.
Chip, as we let you go here, so the all former player booth is going to be once again Frenchie, Glav, and Chipper, but no Smoltz. He's too busy, Mr. National guy. So Brian McCann's going to move in here. So a year ago, all the pressure was on Glavin, who, I mean, I love Tom, and we have him on the show every week, but he failed spectacularly before he got the home run call right? And there's the pressure involved in that. So how much do you think Mac is preparing? Like, are you going to be in his corner? Are you going to be playing defense actively against him? What's that going to be like for Mac in that spot?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to haze him somewhat as the newcomer, the rookie of the crew. I would expect some sort of gift, maybe like a margarita machine there in the booth that you know, the guys can. I mean, if we're doing Harry Carey imitations by the third inning, I think you'll know he got it right. No, Mac's going to do great. You know, I'm a little nervous because, you know, Smoltz sucked up so much air, like I said last night on the telecast. But now Frenchie's going to feel like he needs to soak up all that time, and we all know how that can go.
Well, no.
I really need Brandon. I would love for Brandon to be there to get us in and out of commercials, because that was a little awkward from time to time.
But that's the point,
we're
right?
We're going to have a blast.
You're like, that's the thing. That's my favorite part, is you guys not knowing how to stick the landing. Right, going out, like, the third out is just made, four guys looking at each other, and nobody says 4-3 Braves, top of the fifth. They just, like, wait. And sometimes you guys went to break with nobody saying anything.
Nothing. And
awesome.
Finally, in Glav's defense, finally I nudged him, and I go, you got to get us in and out of rehearsals, and he finally started doing it.
Can't wait.
I feel like this one will be a little better. We'll see.
Put Mac in charge of that. There's your hazing. Mac, you got to get us in and out of break and handle that one. Chip, it's always a pleasure. Could listen to you talk hitting forever. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Y'all be good.
Appreciate it very much. There's Chipper Jones, the Hall of Famer, on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. That should be fun on Wednesday night. Speaking of fun, we like to have fun as we wrap up the show. We call it Unfinished Business, where we close up a bunch of loops that we have left open. Coming up in Unfinished Business, we'll circle back on a 7-person list that I never expanded on. And we find out the history of bad movies made by one local GM. I'm intrigued. Are you? Find out next.
We all know Chuck has a lot of random thoughts throughout the show.
Why don't you have him cutting his penis off then, huh?
And Matt likes to tell crappy jokes no one understands.
We're looking for Uranus.
So now, it's time to circle back on some stuff we didn't get to the bottom of. We now present to you Unfinished Business, presented by Zero FG Energy. Live free with Zero FG on Chuck and Chernoff. Let's get
down. All right, as we wind things down on this Thursday afternoon, reminder 680 Rewind comes your way in about 10 minutes. Some great content that maybe you've missed, you want to catch up on from the locker room, which you need to be listening to 6 to 10. The Buck Belue Show, 10 to 11. Shalini and D'Amino, 11 to 2. And then this program from 2 to 6. Brian Gephardt is here to close up some loops that we like to call Unfinished Business.
Yeah, it was something we started off the show with today, our top story, which was about couples that sleep naked being happier than those that don't, which led you to saying, you wholeheartedly disagreed with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said only 7 people in the entire world should be naked on any sort of regular basis.
That's right.
Who are those people for you, Matt?
Oh, you actually want the 7?
Yeah, maybe. You got a name or two?
How about The Rock?
I knew that was going to be on your list.
Hugh Jackman?
How about Tom Brady?
No, I don't want Tom to be naked. How about Beyonce?
Sign off on that one.
All right. How about, now this might be a little young, so this will be for the Cullen. How about your girl Libby Dunn? She's in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I'm a little too old for her, but that might work.
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa's probably close to 60 now, so I don't know.
Sure, though, yeah.
Maybe she still can keep it together. I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit more.
Wait, was Colin not a fan of Livy Dunn, though?
I don't know.
His response there
I have
was...
no problem with Livy Dunn. Yeah, I was trying to find the Chuck drop.
How about Mark Wahlberg? abs for days.
A little old.
Too short.
Boy, you guys are critical right away. Too old, too short.
Like
okay.
The Rock, huge. Like, I get those.
I'm going to tell you
Wahlberg,
this.
Wahlberg,
bring up a picture of Wahlberg right now, I think you guys, because he's a part of that like 430 club who works out every morning. I bet he's got an 8-pack that would make you two go, oh my God, I'm not into guys, but I like him.
How much do you think all that's real? Him getting up at 4 and
I think it seems real
running all these things. He plays like 18 holes of golf and then goes works out again and writes a movie script.
You know what he is? He's the ultimate man. You're the ultimate meatball. Just it's night and day. So that's a pretty good list, right? Give you an idea.
Yeah. Is that so only Beyonce and Livy Dunn and then the rest are guys?
I'd have to give it some more thought.
just to be clear.
If it was 2002, it would be Britney Spears, but we've all seen her naked at this point, so really not much mystery left in that one.
That's fair.
I'll give it some more thought because I think it's a total of 7.
We'll circle back around with this with Chuck tomorrow, maybe.
Okay. You know?
We'll see. We also have to ask him if he bought the fight or not. Don't think we forgot about that.
Oh, so I did. We'll watched see. It.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad, by the way.
Yeah. Yesterday, we briefly talked about Alex Anthopoulos and led to what was his biggest trade miss with the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not one.
Isn't
there's
that
just
crazy?
There's just not one with the trades at all yet.
How
I mean,
is that possible?
Here's the thing. There may be a few bad signings, but honestly,
the Cole Hamels thing was a swing and a miss.
Cole Hamels.
Dallas Keuchel was just okay.
Yeah. But Drew Smyly.
There hasn't been like an egregious, how did you give that up to get another guy?
Yeah. There was the re-signing of Rosario. That wasn't great. And then
it was okay. That was fine. It wasn't disastrous.
Yeah, and then Marcell Ozuna, you know, at first didn't look great, but now he's apparently the best hitter in baseball. So
looks like it.
There's that part of it. Mm-hmm. A couple NBA things I want to go back around to. Excuse me. Matt, when you talking about your list of NBA champions over the last handful of decades.
I nailed it, didn't I?
Did forget the Dallas Mavericks.
I forgot the Mavericks. That's Dirk's team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Dirk, the J. Kidd, that whole group.
Correct. That was the one-off. They beat the Heat.
Yeah. Right. Why do you hate them?
I don't hate them at all.
Yeah?
I just forgot them.
Just Luka.
It's just
it's sad.
It's just, there is some randomness in like a Dallas team out of nowhere, even as good as Dirk was, when we have a Laker team that goes from, 1980. So you get Showtime Lakers of the 80s, Celtics teams there, Pistons go back-to-back in the 80s. They win another one in the 2000s with Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups. The Spurs have their mini dynasty that happened. The Heat have a couple of different of them. The Warriors had theirs. So anytime there's a one-off like that, it's just going to slip your mind.
Is it good or bad for the league to have a different champion every year like it
is now? I think the dynasty in the NBA is great.
It's not good for ratings.
People say that, though. Go look at the Warriors-Cavs series. They were always huge.
Yeah.
Like as opposed to the Warriors and the Raptors, or as opposed to like what we've seen the last couple of years, there is no way the Nuggets Heat last year did a number compared to when the Warriors were the super team that everybody wanted to root against.
And things seem to be okay for the NBA right now based on some of that money you're talking about for the TV rights. Also, Warner Media, let's go ahead and match that thing, okay? I need it over
here. You're being selfish because that's your job.
That's all right.
Yeah, I get it.
Just make it happen.
Sure.
NBA
on
NBC, we'll leave that in the past. a couple other NBA things. Pat Bev suspended 4 games for all of his antics.
So that was mostly for throwing the ball at the guy in the stands and hitting the woman in the
head. And supposedly for the interaction with the reporter
after
the
game. So that was part of it, really?
That was part of it, okay. Which seems like it should have been more than 4. Yeah. Frank Vogel fired from the Suns. OG Anunoby out for game 3, Knicks Pacers.
Look at you. BG, wrapping it all up. Thank you, buddy. That's going to do it for us. Thank you to Colin Madden, the aforementioned Brian Gephardt. Thanks to DT. Thanks to Los for sitting in for the King. Tomorrow, Charles is back, theoretically. We'll be at Mr. C's.
What did I miss?
We'll fill you in tomorrow. It'll be some unfinished business with the King kind of all day long. 680 Rewind is on the way next, covering all the big things you maybe missed over the last day or two here on the radio station. Wake up tomorrow morning with the Locker Room 6 to 10, Buck Ballou 10 to 11, Domino and Cellini 11 to 2, and then we're back after that. Have a great Thursday night. Good night now.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
A lifetime of hard work, children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.